have to explain to them that it's spiritual. We will praise some more and worship. Otherwise, no. Listen, it's their job. Because when you hear the word, you don't, the meaning of the word revolution is social unrest. They are paid to ensure you can rest in peace. So I said the church is not under attack. I heard what the man said. And if I was DSS, I would talk to him. And don't think it's Nigeria. If it's America too, go to church and talk to that. FBI will talk to you. One day when I was a resident in Lodz that time, one day my friend, he used to call me his spiritual father. He was the president of our resident doctors. He called me. He said, "Daddy, come. I said, "What is it?" He said, "Just come." I followed him. We entered the office. We sat down. He said, "These are men from SSS. Even me, you know, that was my first encounter with such things. So he didn't want to go alone. He called me, called just one or two people. We sat down, and they were very nice. Introduced themselves. Yes, why? We called the Congress. This is Lodz, Lagos Vesigean Hospital. They wanted to know why. They wanted to know. They asked us a lot of questions. They were taking notes. "What's your name?" I told them. I mean, they just asked everything. "You are the president." "That's my friend." "Yes." He explained the problems we had, what we're having with management. They finished talking. They shook our hands, carried their files, and left. They didn't say doctors are under attack. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Now, you see where I'm going? Is this mentality I am addressing? Why do you tell me because they invited the pastor to come to the headquarters and say Christianity is under attack? You don't know Islam too is under attack? Ask for Ezra-Zaki. Where is he? None of you forwarded anything to me that Islam is under attack when they surrounded his compound. They want me to join this grasshopper mentality thing. Every little thing. Christianity is under attack. Islamic, yes, man. They are not fighting Christianity. They are fighting for cow. Yes. The people they are fighting in Oyo, all over the place, they are mostly Muslims there. I'm talking about this inferiority complex. This victim's mentality. People fall with prayers of fear. They say, Turkey was a Muslim, was a Christian country. It's not Islamic. Pray. I'm not going to pray. I don't join nonsense prayers. Why is Turkey now Muslim? Go and read your Bible. Jesus said, "Repent, otherwise I will remove your candlestick from its place." Let me say it in modern English. Repent, otherwise I will close your church. So if you don't want Islam to take things over, stop lying from the pulpit. No, that is all. Stop collecting first fruits that God did not command. That's all. Stop telling people that if they don't tithe, they'll go to hell. Things that God never said. And stop using titles like high priest. No, one day, one brother told me in the church that in their church, all the tithes, all the tithes they collect nationwide or all the first fruit goes to their big ogre at the top. I said, "Why does it go to the ogre at the top?" He said, "Because they told them in their this thing that he's a high priest." I said, "Jesus." I said, "There are titles Jesus does not share. You can get up in the morning and call yourself the Ogbontarigi of evangelistic outreach and the apostolic evangelistic prophetic success story. Jesus will not answer you. That's your problem. People want to follow, let them continue following. But there are titles you avoid. I saw one guy one day. He said, "The supreme prophet." I said, "This guy, mark my words, if you don't drop that title, you won't live more. 7 years, you are dead." Okay, let's push it to 10. Jesus will be watching you. supreme prophet. I'm one. And I said, high priest? I said, no. These are titles Christians must not use. High priest? There is only one high priest. His name is Jesus. And this one ever liveth. He doesn't retire. You don't change him. I said, stop all of this and Islam will leave you alone. But continue doing all of these things. Pray from now till tomorrow. Except Europe experiences a revival. You know, they are an Islamic continent already. This is not it's a foregone conclusion. And they did not fight them. You know, there was no fight. They didn't bomb them into submission. God just gave them a sleeping spirit. They didn't know what was going on. In two generations, just by birth rate alone, birth, children having children, the white people are being wiped out from there, and they are being replaced by Islamists that came over from Asia. Right. The white man is not having children. If he agrees to marry, he says, we thank God. And when he marries, sometimes he marries the guy, and the lady marries the lady. And the Muslims come in there, have 20 children per family or more in two generations. No be voting. Democracy. The Lord is good. I'm emphasizing. Listen. That knowledge of what God has done for us in Christ is the first thing that we need as believers to be totally free. Dreams. I need to talk about dreams for a moment. I'm still getting back to, there's something I want to get back to. I'm watching it very closely. I must get to it. Why we read that 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me quickly talk about dreams. If you've not read my book, Guided by the Spirit, please, I'm asking you to read it. We have some copies out there, but you're all tech people, so go to our website. Just by 1 or 2 megabytes or less. All right? Drop some to your tab. It's free of charge. There's no cost if you are downloading it. But if you are buying the paper copy, you have to pay for that one. It's not expensive anyway. But just make sure you read it whichever way. Okay? It's on our website. Okay? In that book, Guided by the Spirit, I explain something about dreams. I don't have a lot of time now, so that's why I'm asking you to go and read more about it there. Dreams are funny. They are... Most dreams people dream, in my opinion, most are useless dreams, meaningless dreams. Dreams usually are interpreted based upon this, something that is inside your mind. Dreams, most dreams people dream have no meaning. In the book, I explained that I divided dreams into two groups, meaningless dreams and revelatory dreams. Revelatory dreams are those ones that the Holy Spirit uses to communicate with us. It's not often, on the average, they are not often. All my life, I can remember a few incidents, a few situations in which I had revelatory dreams that really helped me. Most of the dreams I've dreamt in my life don't have any meaning. And what the Bible says? The Bible says it like that, that if you are hungry, you can dream of food. And you wake up and you are still hungry. It's the Bible that said that, not me. The Bible talks about the idle man's dreams. If you're not going anywhere, you're always rolling up and down. You start dreaming. Then, multitude of activity gives dreams. What I mean is this. What you focus on more during the day can speak to you at night. I was talking to one of our sisters yesterday. She told me something. We laughed about it. As she said, she was not feeling well. So she now said that twice I actually appeared in her dream. And I'll tell you where I'm going in a moment. Both times she told me what I said. And both those things I said are things I preach. And the second time, she confessed that my message was plain while she was sleeping. I said, that is why. No. Do you get my point? In fact, what happened, I was explaining to her. I said, my dear sister, you know what happens is that when you listen to somebody a lot, are you getting my point? That the words that you fill your head with during the day, those words start speaking to you when you are sleeping at night. He now said it's true that that particular day, actually, the message was still plain. Are you getting my point? So it's like the words, of course, I'm somebody she knows very well. I said, this is just how it works now. You see the negative side of it. So you can imagine if you are watching horror movies during the day. At night, you will dream that witches are pursuing you. They will pursue you. Why won't they pursue you? If you were the witch, you want to pursue the person that's been watching horror movies the whole day. Most times, that's all it is. And I've learned to recognize that. And that's why, please, fill your environment. If you want to be free indeed, you must fill your environment with good influence. A lot of people tell you that, God said I should leave this country. God didn't say any such thing. There are things that God does not say. You know what my wife said once? He said, apparently God does not know there's Cameroon. He does not know there's Togo, Ghana. God only knows there is US, Canada, and UK. He said, that caused the question, all this God told me to leave the country. And let me tell you what tells people to leave the country, what they call God. It is this discussion we have every day. When you settle down and say, there's kidnapping, there is no light, there's a... Okay, that black thing that used to fall in Port Harcourt doesn't fall again. That the evil spirits are spraying powder. It's black. Think about it. Okay, so now, you discuss those things every day. Listen to me. You will hear the Lord say, my son, my daughter, thou shalt arise. There is a place of rest that I have kept for you. It is not God. It is all the talk you've been talking. And that's why God can never tell you to go to a country you have not heard of in that area. Are you getting my point? In that regard. Because it's your talk, it's not God. Don't deceive your friend, your neighbor, your wife. Like I tell you, don't tell me God said to me, say, hey, Banky, please, I'm leaving Nigeria, I'm tired. I will have respect for you. If you open my mouth and see your mouth and say that God said I should move to UK, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. You know the truth? You are lying to yourself. And please don't use the word God, because tomorrow you will change your mind. And you won't know how to come and tell me that God, you know, has come back and said, you won't know what to say. No, I have a lot of respect for you if you just come and tell me that, ah, man, I think I'm tired. I think it would be easier for me if I'm in North America, you know, it would be easier for me. I don't know that. Talk to me like that. We'll discuss and then we'll leave it. But if you tell me God said, you offend me, you don't realize it. I was one of our brothers one day. He said, I said, listen, my friend, don't tell me God said. Because, you know, once you said it, I end the discussion. I'm going. If you want us to talk, forget this God said. I said, because, you know, I don't believe it. The simple reason is the multitude of talk. You talk morning, afternoon, and night. Is what you say. That's why now I rise sometimes and I say, it's a dream. I told you, there's a story I told here the other time. A young lady, I went to preach in Anambra, a young lady came to me, said I should pray for her. After the message, I was waiting for them to pack up our material so we could go. I was just sitting at the back of the car. She now came. Hey, good afternoon, sir. Now you can pray for me. I said, what is it? Said her mother, she dreamt that her mother gave her, introduced her to witchcraft. I said, how? Said she dreamt that she dreamt her mother gave her an egg to eat. And that the egg is now in her chest. I looked at the guy, I said, will you get away from here? I told her, I said, my friend, will you get away from? I'm serious, that's how I responded. So young lady, I said, my friend, go get away from here. She refused to go. She said, please. I said, what is please? I should pray for you that the witchcraft that your mother introduced you to the other night, she will leave you alone. Ah, poor mother. You can imagine that girl is not going home again. I don't need to tell you. It was on a campus I went to preach. I said, your mother introduced you to witchcraft. I said, you know your problem? All you do is watch Mama G. Patient Ezekiel, inside films. That is what is manifesting to you now. Can you see what you've done to yourself? He said, but sir, I can feel it. Feel what? The egg is still in your chest. He said, it's still in my chest. I said, my girl, there's nothing like that. I said, look, I'm a doctor. When I was in school, they taught me about people like you. I gave her the medical name for it. Englishman calls a lump in the throat. If you're anxious, a lump comes to your throat. It's normal. It's known. It's not anything new. It's nothing new. To the girl, I'm sorry. There are prayers I must not pray. Because if I pray this prayer, you will believe yourself. When the girl wouldn't go, I was forced to look for another prayer to pray for her. And I said, okay, say after me. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm serious. So we repeated that confession. I said, go, you are free. You're not, your mother is not a witch. She did not introduce. She just, your mother can be wicked, but she's not a witch. And let me tell you the truth. They cannot introduce you into something that you don't want to enter as an adult. It's not possible. Principles of covenant is not allowed. Please, let's get that, bear that in mind. You don't need deliverance. People say, I'm swimming in my dream. Oh, pastors do that. Very funny. If you are here and you are swimming in your dream, come out. And I was like, what is that supposed to mean? They said, my spirit. Let me tell you what it means when you are swimming in your dreams. There are a number of meanings. Number one, you've always wanted a swimming pool and they couldn't afford that in your family. That's one. Number two, you are afraid. Maybe they tell, let's go to Bonny Island one day. So you saw boats passing. Since that day, you've been afraid that if I enter this boat again, I may die in the water. That is why you start swimming in your... These are the reasons. It hardly, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't have any meaning. Bear it in mind. He said, masquerade is chasing me in my dream. That's the one I like. You know why? Just go and sit down, check all those you are owing. If you are owing everybody, trust me, masquerades will chase you in your dream. That one is sure. They will chase in your dream. They will chase in your dream. Trust me, go and pay them. They won't come again. You know why masquerade is chasing your dream? You are afraid. You see, that's what we do as human beings. We crystallize these things when we are sleeping into all kinds of things. Most of these dreams have no meaning. Doesn't mean you need deliverance. And like my pastor said one day, he said, if masquerade is chasing your dream and you wake up, he said, refuse and say, this dream is not over. Close your eyes, go back to sleep, and chase them back. Now listen, you can only have this attitude if you know what God has made you in Christ Jesus. You see, so that's why people say that they prayed and God spoke to them. Please, I'm begging you, read that book, Guided by the Spirit. Because many times God cannot speak because our minds are too clogged with so much rubbish. Like dreams, God uses dreams to talk to people. But he said, I can't talk to people in dreams. Their minds are too dirty. Their hearts are not pure. They are afraid. So every little thing I want to tell them in the dream, it changes to something else. They sit down every day. They watch films. People say, don't shake a stranger on the road, though. Why? They are vanishing people's parts. You know, there are things that you must never allow your faith to be weakened. When you tell me such things, the next 1 week I'm shaking everybody. How are you doing? I want the spirits to know that I don't care. And like I say, let a witch that's vanishing people's parts to come and shake my hand. His brain is going. When I shake your hand, God bless you. Once I tell you God bless you like this, and you are not a subject of blessing, boom, your brain will vanish. Boom. People of God, that is true. You know, I'm preaching true deliverance. Without a confidence in Christ, any deliverance people have is temporal. It's temporal. But back to the, you know, I said, I just wanted to say this before I get to that other thing I was saying. This is what God has done for us in Christ. Now, is it possible for us to now invite evil into our lives? And I said, the answer is what? Yes. When Satan is coming, he must have something he's holding. He must have. Let me talk about sin for a moment. It is not true that God does not judge, that sin does not exist in the life of Christians. It's not true. I've heard that thing preached that the Christians, there's nothing like sin. I don't know where we got it from, because Paul didn't say that. Paul said we need to do what? Cleanse ourselves of defilement of flesh and spirit. I talked about it in that book, Guided by the Spirit. Please read it again. It's very important. Paul said it. John said it. If we confess our sins. John said it. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5. He said, these are the deeds of the flesh. And he says, walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill what? The desires of the flesh. He warned us against those things. You see where I'm going? It's important we bear it in mind, because you see, that is what Satan, you know, Satan has not, listen, how many times do you think Jesus was tempted? The story you read in your Bible, it appeared like once. It's not true. If you read it closely, there are many times. When Peter came and talked to him, what did he say to Peter? Get behind me, what? Satan. It was a temptation. When his mother and his brothers came to take him out of the ministry, it was a temptation. When the people said, we will make you king, it was a temptation. Those temptations came again and again and again and again. And if you go and read this, the temptation in the wilderness, the Bible says Satan departed from him for a season. That is, he keeps looking for opportune times. When can I get this fellow? So all his life, Jesus was not, he didn't get to a point, there was no temptation again. No, it was always there. It's just that he kept on overcoming. The final one was the one in the garden, which we all know about. That's why he said, be sober. Be vigilant. Your enemy goes around looking for whom he may devour. How does he devour people? He doesn't have the power in himself. I've already established that. It is when he starts suggesting and people start following him. And when they start, he gets power over them, even though temporarily. It's so important for us to understand it. And that's why Peter wrote that thing that we read just now. Let's just get back there, please. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. That's why Peter wrote it and told us that we are told by the promises, the magnificent promises. That's in verse 4. He said, by them we are becoming. He said, so that you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. For this very reason, because we have these promises, so we have no excuse. Let's apply what? Diligence. And using that diligence, in our faith, let's supply what? Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. He said, these qualities are yours and are increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted and has forgotten. He said, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. What was Peter saying to us here? Please, let's note this. Peter was saying it is possible for people to start walking, for Christians to start walking without self-control. Why? He said because they have forgotten. Remember that knowledge, we said is what? Spiritual power, is the thing that God uses to establish us in freedom. But that knowledge, I'm going to emphasize, I gave an illustration earlier. Why won't I eat that food that we described that was rotten? I said it's because I know who I am. Please, I hope you're getting the point. I know who I am. That is why I will not eat that food that is rotten, even though I am hungry. That is, knowledge of who I am is what makes keeps me in check. And Peter is now explaining to us that if you find believers who have forgotten what God has done for them in Christ Jesus, what do you find you find people who are walking without self-control. You find people who are walking without moral excellence. You find people who are walking without the ability to persevere. You find them, they are walking, there is no brotherly kindness in them, or it's not increasing. So you see, knowledge in Christianity, that's the second side of it I wanted to bring up. It's not just that I'm intellectually aware of what God has done for me. It also means that that thing that I'm aware of constrains my behavior. I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining here. That thing I'm aware of constrains my behavior. And let me say something to you. Now, what I'm about to say is very crucial. It's very, very crucial. For Christ, not just about this now, but for everything in life. That is our Christian life. I said that we have to be careful with defined words. Let me give you an example. There's one discussion we had in Enugu sometime last year. If you have been following us, I preached this thing. We were talking about, towards the end of the year, I was talking about Christ's message to his church. And then I talked about the true grace encounter. Thank you. The true grace encounter. Let me give an example, the word repentance. I define the word believe, not repentance now, the word to believe. What does it mean to believe? Let me ask you, how are we saved? By faith or by works? How are we saved? By faith or by works? Now, don't answer this one, okay? But I want to ask another question. Our works, do they have anything to do with our faith? Now, don't answer it. I'm going to discuss briefly. Why is it don't answer? I don't want to hear yes or no. Because that's the point in which you split Christians into two halves. Yes. But again, Christians are not bad people. They are children of God. So when they disagree like that, oftentimes, their disagreement is on the letters, not the spirit. Both of them may be saying the same thing. Once I went on radio, I don't know, many of you may have read my writing, why James had to write. Salvation by faith, some by works. I said, why James had to write. In that place, I explained why James had to write this epistle. Now, let me tell you what. It is normal for us not to understand some things until we look at it very closely. James actually used the word that Abraham was saved by works. But he wasn't saying Abraham was saved by works. What he was saying is that his faith was shown in his works. And without those works, there was no faith. Go on, please read down my article. It's on our website, one of the blogs. Now, this is the point I'm making. People now argue, if salvation is not by faith, by works. It is not by works. It is clear from scriptures. It is by what? Faith. It's by faith. But James said, there are some faiths that are dead. They look like the real faith, but actually they are dead. And you know what he said? Can such a faith save anybody? The answer is what? No, it can't. It's common sense that if a faith is dead, it can't save anybody. It's common sense. So James said, if you are saved only by faith, make sure that faith is what? Living. Because Jesus said, not everybody that calls me what? Lord, Lord. We enter into the kingdom. These were the words of Jesus. And the same Jesus came and said to us that many will come to me on that day. That is, they will be surprised that they are not saved. I don't know why you are getting my point. He said, many will come and they will be surprised that I don't know them. What does that tell you? They were confident that I did. So James now wrote like this. He said, do you want to know whether your faith is dead or alive? He says, simple. Check the works it is producing. That the only proof that a faith is alive is that it is producing the right works. He never said people are saved by works. There's no confusion in it. He's just saying that if the works are not there, the faith is dead, so it cannot save. Do you get my point? Let me give a very simple example. Does vibration or heat move a car? No. All right? It's the movement of the piston of the engine. But how do you want to know a car that the engine is on or off? You just check there. You feel the engine is hot, and you feel the slight vibration and the noise. You say, oh, the engine is on. Do you get my point? So if you sit in the car, say, this car is good. It can take us. Say, the engine on. Say, don't worry. I know it's a good car. Is the engine on? Say, it is on. Can you feel any vibration or the heat? No fan blowing hot air out? He said, no, that's not what moves a car. I know that's not what moves a car, but I need to be sure this engine is working. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. That is where Christians often get into confusion. Someone has said, no, you're not saved by works. You can't be saved by works. What can you do? You are saved only by faith that's in Christ Jesus. But that faith in Christ Jesus makes demands. It makes demands. Sometimes he will tell you are a Muslim, you cannot go to the mosque again. You say, it doesn't matter, my faith in my heart. Jesus said, this one is joking. I like one thing David Paulson told in a story, one story. He said, one girl just came to him. He said, she doesn't know what's wrong, but she wants to be a Christian, but it doesn't seem to be working. He said, so he asked, Lord, give me a word of knowledge to help this girl out. He said, suddenly the Lord told her something. And he turned to the girl, the guy you are living with, is he your husband? The girl said, no. Like, how did you know I was living with somebody anyway? But it was a word of knowledge. He said, well, listen, when you give your life to Christ, your life must change. Please, you cannot keep on living that kind of lifestyle and say you are giving your life to Christ. So what you will do, you will go home and go and pack. And the girl left and never came back. Let me tell you what God just did. God just gave her, make up your mind. It's either Jesus or him. That's all. Faith does not mean I agree mentally. Faith means I obey the Lord Jesus. The girl went back to that man. And nobody should please tell me she's saved. Because Jesus gave her an option. Me or him. Is she saved by her works? No, but her faith is dead. Please, follow what I'm going to explain here. So when we're talking about faith, there are two sides to faith that when we're looking at it then, I explain. Please go and listen to the series, The True Grace Encounter. What I explain in it is this. Listen. For you to believe, Paul always tied believing with repentance. He said there is no faith if there's no repentance. He said, God commanded me to go and preach repentance. He solemnly charged me to go and preach what? Repentance. That's what Paul said. Please, you see where I'm going. So when words, and okay, let me just complete that and I'll now get back to this. So you see, the second side of it is that it is disciples. He said, go into all the world and do what? Make disciples. So the people that believe are the ones that have accepted to be disciples, not the people that answered an altar call. They answered an altar call and went back to their normal life. They have not yet believed. Because it was the disciples that were called what? Christians. Who's the disciple? Jesus is not looking for somebody that answered an altar call. He's looking for somebody who said, okay, I'm done with my former life. I want to learn of him. Take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn. Next time you see the word believe, that's what it means. And if, in fact, you know, after I finished doing all this analysis, and I went back to Amplified Bible, I said, look at all this analysis we're even doing. Amplified has always used it. Amplified said, he that relies on, holds on to, do you understand? He has used like three or four words to use the word believe. Because when we use believe in English, we have this mental attitude that is just about agreeing. It's beyond agreement. It is relying upon, living totally for. Back to the matter of knowledge. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The knowledge that's not affecting your life, you don't have it. Did you hear what I said? If I say I know who I am, I carry rotten food and eat. I'm lying. That's why Peter explained to us. So you must understand this. I use all of that to try to emphasize, let's know what God means when he uses words. When Jesus said, you will know the truth, he wasn't just saying you read a line in a book and say, oh, I know that I'm free in Christ Jesus. No. It starts making demands of you. That's why I give examples like that. There are times you will quarrel with everybody. And listen, don't think that in this life, things will just go off easy like that. There are times that situations in life will keep on proving to you, you are in bondage, you keep on saying, it's a lie. I am not in bondage. And how do you know you are not in bondage? You say, everybody, sow a seed for special deliverance today. Say, I'm not sowing anything for any deliverance. I will give my regular offering at the end of church. But this deliverance, I'm not sowing for it. Why? Because if I sow for it, I'm accepting that I'm in bondage. You just see yourself. No, sometimes you will disagree with people. Your Christian faith, again, like I said, affects every aspect of your life. You cannot hold on to faith in one area and neglect it in another area. I'm talking about what you know. What you know. What you know. For example, you say, I know that I'm in Christ and all things have passed away. And I'm a single man, as an example. I want to marry. You're always my best example. And as you know, I can't marry women from this area. Can you see what I'm saying? I have denied the knowledge I have. Now listen to me. Every time, listen, I told you a story yesterday about a man who said he needed deliverance. And I told my friend to go and tell him that if he wants that deliverance, he needs to burn cars and pull down a building. Without that, there is no deliverance. Because there has been no repentance in his heart. Now, you are following what I'm trying to explain here. In the same manner, when we claim to believe, it makes demand of us. Oh, when we claim to have some knowledge, it makes demands. I cannot open my mouth, claim that I'm a believer. Now, let me make the point I'm trying to make. Why did I tell that man that thing? I said, listen, those cars he's holding onto, that those financial advancements he made using those evil spirits, is the right they have in his life. Do you get my point? That is when the prince of this world comes, he has something in him. So he needs to let that thing go. Now, why am I talking about that now? You want freedom in your life. Number one thing that Satan holds on to keep believers down, are the strongholds in our hearts. His thoughts. You know, God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Two sides to that. Number one, whatever you are thinking decides how you behave. Number two, every thought you have belongs to somebody. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Ask yourself, these are my thoughts. Are they God's thoughts or the devil's thoughts? If you hold on to the devil's thoughts, he has a right in your life. Let me explain. If you hold on, as an example, the one I'll give in LSA, I can never marry women from this area. Is that God's thoughts? Do I need to say more? No, I don't need to say more now. I haven't explained that. Sometimes when people make up their mind, let's take prosperity as an example. If I don't go to America, I can't prosper. Is that God's thought? Any thought you hold on to brings you into bondage if it's not of God. Please, I need to emphasize that. I can't emphasize it enough. Any stronghold in your heart, anything you hold on to firmly, if it is not God's thoughts, he puts you in bondage and he holds you there. True deliverance is to deliver yourself of the thought. You cannot pray that demon away. Listen, this is true Christian deliverance I'm talking about. Read your Bible, You will not find one place. Now, please, get me right. I am not saying you cannot cast demons out of people, even though they claim to be Christians. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you read your Bible, you will not find one place where it was done. You will not find. Why? I'll tell you. Because the gospel is the power of God unto deliverance. Salvation, part of it is what? Deliverance. We said that yesterday, right? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So what God expected is that as Christians cut off, they know the truth. It cuts off negative thoughts from their hearts. The demon that holds on to that thought goes away. See, there was a time in Christianity, it's not there much now. This deliverance thing was everywhere. We come for a meeting like this. I finish preaching. I tell everybody stand up. We start driving out demons. There's a man who I respect so much. He was a strong man in that area, but I refuse to follow him till now. I have over 300 of his messages. I listen to him almost on a daily basis. But in that area, I disagree with him. And I'm not alone. I'm not being stubborn. Many people who preach to us, they did not agree. And I told you that I tried to strike a balance amongst all of these things. I tried my best. And I think this was the balance I was able to find. He keeps on saying that Christians can have demons. The other people say they can't. He will come, finish this kind of meeting, everyone will start praying. They will now start conjuring up the spirits. Then the hall will scatter after a while. Some people are on the floor, they are foaming from their mouths. They are all kinds of things. Cast out demons, cast out demons, cast out demons. Other Christians said, these people are confused. He's a man I love so much. There were many Christians doing it, but he was a champion there. He's a man I love so much. I don't believe he was a confused person. But when I listened to his teachings, tried to balance with other preachers who I listened to, read my scriptures, and I realized that Paul didn't do that. Jesus didn't even used to do that. If you go and check it, Jesus never used to fish out for demons. Is that not so? They used to come to him with a clear manifestation, and they would rebuke the spirit. That was the only way Jesus handled demons. He didn't go around and said, after you finish talking to me right now, I begin to suspect there's a demon around here. No. The demons will come. It will be clear. There's always a manifestation. Not I think. And there was nobody he cast out demon from because they were dreaming. No, you hear what I said? All this dream analysis to tell you the kind of spirit you have. Forget that. For believers, the only close one I found to it is this. James said, is anyone sick amongst you? Let him call upon the elders of the church. The literal word there, sick, is anyone beyond helping himself. Let him call upon the elders of the church. They will pray over him, anointing him with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. So you see, forgiveness of sins is tied to that affliction. That affliction can be, demonic oppression can be one of those afflictions. But the solution is simple. Let him call upon the elders. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. It's still a prayer of faith that will save the man that is afflicted. Otherwise, you didn't find Christians being chased around looking for demons to get out of them. What is the balance? That's what I'm getting to. The truth is this. As soon as light comes in an area and we take hold of light and reject darkness, that demonic bondage is automatically broken. You don't need to go for a deliverance session for that to happen. In fact, let me put it like this. You've been sitting here for the last, I don't know how many minutes. This is a deliverance session. It is. You have been delivered and been delivered. Anytime you pick a book, your Bible, and you are studying the word of God, and you are saying amen to the truth coming out from inside, it's a deliverance session. Listen to me. Sicknesses have been healed just because we are talking God's word. Yes. Miracles are not the only way by which God solves our problem. What's a miracle? Something dramatic. I came here with a heart failure. By the time service was over, I was running all over the place. All the swelling was gone. Praise the Lord. Look, I can now jog 200 meters. That's a miracle. But sometimes somebody's heart is not working well. manages to go to church, listen to the word of God. They teach the word. Jesus died. And sometimes they don't even talk about healing. They just talk about Jesus. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He made the heavens and the earth by the power of the word. He is the word of God. In him, our life consists. We are upheld by the power of his word. Our lives are not accidents. We will not leave this earth until we have fulfilled the assignment for which he gave us. And we talk and talk and talk. We go home like that. The man hears that. And listen to this. After 2 weeks, he forgets the heart problem. He comes back to church to hear more truth. Then keeps on hearing more truth. Then after 6 months, he said, wait. I used to have a heart problem. When last was that? Because this one, he just joined a football team with his friends. He just finished playing football. Then that's when he gets reminded that he used to have a heart problem. Listen to me. That is what God typically does with Christians. He delivers them. Those things just fall off. They fall off. The thing is dropping off. Everyday bondage is being dropped off you. That's a matter of fact. Where I'm ending my message this morning is for us to remember what Paul said. Peter said, what is knowledge? True knowledge reflects in our godly character. He said, those who don't have increase in moral excellence, perseverance, he says it's because they have forgotten. That is, they are supposed to know something, they don't know it anymore. So we see knowledge is not just intellectual acquaintance with facts. It is that which enters me and affects my moral excellence. It's that which enters me and affects my brotherly kindness. It's that which enters me and makes me walk in love. Listen, let me just say this one. I just remembered something and I want to end with it. You know, one day my wife was talking with a friend of hers. Every time they would talk, she would tell my wife of how the kind of battles she's fighting. Christians like battles. What is the battle? Battle between her and her mother-in-law. And the story go long, long. One day I just called my wife. I said, this your friend is not a good person. She has never told you she sat down and prayed for her mother-in-law. It is no. I just perceived that she was coming with satanic intention. So I rose up in prayer. The Bible says, he that sits in Zion, all those incantations from the book of Psalms, which are correct, they said I will use them wrongly. I began to fire. She became uncomfortable. I said, my girl, I was talking to my wife. I said, that's not Christianity. When you want to fight your in-laws, please, I want to tell you how to fight in-laws. Who's ready for that? How to fight in-laws. Yes, let's start. This is how to fight your in-laws. You're a woman. Your mother-in-law is troublesome. Your father-in-law is a quiet wizard. He doesn't talk, but he's mean. This is how to fight them. You will rise up early in the morning. Say, Lord, I thank you because the two shall become one flesh. I have become one flesh with my husband. Therefore, his father is my father. His mother is my mother. Lord, I love her with the love of the Lord. I love him with the love of the Lord. One or two things going on. Either they are not believers or they are not walking in the light, right? Father God, they are not believers. In the name of Jesus, I pray. It is not your wish that anyone should perish and go to hell. I pray for them that you will give them light. Now, this is a real fight. Just how to fight your in-laws. God, give them light. Don't let them die and go to hell. Jesus died for them. I pray that you will send laborers into their harvest. If they are Christians, you change the prayer. Lord, fill them with the knowledge of your will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let them walk in a manner that is worthy of you, to please you in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work, and to increase in the knowledge of God, in the name of Jesus. I hear my mother-in-law is hypertensive. Father, in the name of Jesus, healing. Jesus died for her healing. That's that morning's fight. In the evening, fight that fight again. And when you see them, Christmas time, buy gifts. When it's not Christmas time, buy gifts. That's how to fight Christian fight. You're waiting for the fight. That's the fight. What if they don't like you and they want you to leave your husband's house? It's easy. You will kneel down and say, Lord, I am not going anywhere. Abi said, this is my house in the name of Jesus. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. My husband is joined to me in the name of Jesus. I am not going anywhere. He is not going anywhere. That is how to get peace in your home. In due season. In due season, God will solve all the problems. He said, what if God will not solve it? I mean, if they will not repent, that is their problem. God will solve them. Are you getting my point? It's not you. You are not allowed to join that nonsense that people join. I've seen all kinds of stories. One day, one of my colleagues, he said his wife needs deliverance. I looked at him. I said, your wife does not need deliverance. You, uncle. I told him, I said, you know, you're a very difficult person to live with. I told him like that, though. I said, you're a difficult person. We work in the same office. I know how difficult you are. The person who's not living with you, what is she going through? He said, no. That her mother is a witch. I said, okay. I told the guy the truth like that. I said, you're a difficult person. I'm just feeling, this woman living with you. I said, if I hear her own side of the story now, I wonder how it will be. We believers, that's, you know, I told you, what's the title of my message? The Way of True Deliverance. It's supposed to be a prayer seminar, but I forgot that part of it. Hello, Inka. I forgot to. You should have reminded me it's supposed to be a prayer seminar. But anyway, it's deliverance session we are in. Once we are delivered from ignorance, we are free. Amen. But let's rise up to pray. It's a prayer seminar. True deliverance. In Christ Jesus. Let's start with thanksgiving. Let's give the Lord thanks. But that's the most important thing, that He has set us free in Christ. Let's start with that. Say, Lord, I thank you because you have set me free in Christ Jesus. Let's start with that. True deliverance. You are free today, I'm telling you. You are free. You are free. Those dreams won't worry you anymore. They will not. They can't. Those dreams won't worry you anymore. They cannot. So, Lord, I thank you, I'm free. Whether I'm awake or I'm asleep, I've been set free. Give him thanks. Say, Lord, I am sure I am free. Jesus died so that I will be free. Lord, I thank you because I'm free. The blood of Jesus was shed for my sins. Now I am free. Say, Lord, I thank you. My sins have been washed away. The hold of Satan in my life has been removed. Say boldly like you believe it. Lord, I thank you. My sins have been washed away. The hold of Satan in my life is broken. Yes, let us pray. Say those words. Lord, I thank you because I am free. My sins have been washed away. The hold of Satan has been removed. The prince of this world can come, but he has nothing in me. The prince of this world may come, but he has nothing in me. The devil may come, but he has nothing he can do to me. There's nowhere to hold. The blood of Jesus has washed me clean. Today we are going for total deliverance. Say it, I have been free in Christ Jesus. Ancestral curses are broken. The sins of my ancestors do not affect me today. The blessing of my ancestor Abraham is in my life. You need to say that to yourself many times. The curse of the ancestors is not in my life. The punishment for their sins is not in my life. What I have is the blessing of my ancestor Abraham. What I have is the blessing, the spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Say, every ancestral curse has been broken. Premature death has been broken. Cancer in the family has been broken. Strokes early in life has been broken. Laboring and seeing no fruit is a curse, but it has been broken in my life. The curse of Abraham is not of Adam is not working in my life. The blessing of Abraham is working in my life. My faith is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I am free totally. You need to declare those words over your life. Say, when Jesus went to the cross, every ancestral curse was broken. When he went to the cross, every ancestral curse was broken for my sake. I walk in the newness of life. I am not under a curse. Satan cannot hold me down. The devil has no power in my life. The light of Christ shines into every corner. The light of freedom. The light of forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins. That light shines into every nook, every cranny, every hidden area, and it lightens the place. And therefore I am free. Demonic power is broken. The power of addiction is broken. I am not addicted to anything anymore. Because Jesus is my Lord. Because Jesus is my Master. Because Jesus is my Savior. Now begin to declare this words of freedom. I live for him who died and rose again on my behalf. Very important. Those words are words of deliverance. Say it at least 10 times. I live for him who died and rose again on my behalf. I live for him who died and rose again on my behalf. I live for Jesus who died and rose again on my behalf. I live for him who died and rose again on my behalf. I live for Jesus. He is the one who died and rose again on my behalf. I live for him who died and rose again on my behalf. I don't live for myself, but I live for Jesus. He died and rose again on my behalf. He's the one I am living for. I don't live for myself. My life is hid with Christ in God. I am totally free. I have been set free to stay free. I have been set free. Greater is he that is in me. I live for him who died and rose again on my behalf. I don't live for my own ambition. I don't live for the ambition of my parents. I don't live for any of those. I live for him who died and rose again on my behalf. Oh, let's pray that prayer. Say, I have been redeemed. I am not bound. Every ancestral curse is broken. I am free from poverty. I am free. Hey, I am free. In my going out, in my coming in, I am free. Premature death has been broken. Lack of fruitfulness, either in my work or in my body, has been broken. Unfulfilled desires, the desires of God in my life that are not fulfilled, it's been broken. All those things have been broken. I am free to manifest the glory of God. I am free to manifest the glory of the Lord Jesus. This is true deliverance. Now, please listen to this for a moment. Listen to this for a moment. There's some people talking about ancestral curses. What do you mean, ancestral curses? And those things are real. I keep on saying them. They are real. It's just that we have something that's realer. Is that English correct? Things that are more real. Leprosy was an ancestral curse in the house of Gehazi. Because Elisha said, the leprosy of Naaman will not depart from you and from your descendants. And I preached a message on it before, that descendants are not just natural descendants. Descendants of Gehazi is anybody who uses lies to obtain money. So leprosy is his portion. So people like that, problem comes to the family. There's one man, a prophet, you know, a genuine prophet, not a fake prophet. They say in his whole family, extended family, the men always divorce their wives, always. He was the only one standing. A few years ago, he divorced his wife too. Thereby confirming that there's an ancestral curse, a generational curse, they call it. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on generational blessing. You know, Jacob caused a lot of problems in life. Jacob. Yet, he was under the influence of a strong generational blessing. From Abraham. Actually, it didn't even start with Abraham. It started with Shem. If you go and check it, the blessing just first went to Shem. Read your Genesis. Genesis started from Abraham, from Adam, all the way down to Noah. From Noah, I picked it through Shem and went straight to Abraham. But it was amplified in Abraham, Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob. With all the problems that Jacob had, you know what God was just doing? God was just solving the problems of Jacob so that he can amplify the blessing in his life. The blessing went different lines. One of the crucial ones through Judah. Another crucial one through Levi. But you see, those men started generational blessings. So you now hear the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Are you getting my point? I'm going somewhere. We're going to pray. And you will declare yourself a beginning of a generational blessing. Are you getting my point? Please, it's enough trying to deliver ourselves from generational curses. Jesus don't do that one finish. What you want to do for you and your children now is to let them know they have stepped into generational blessing. Like when we were praying earlier, we said it. As for my natural ancestors, I don't know who they are. I know my spiritual ancestor of faith, Abraham. And Abraham's blessings literally are mine. Have you heard that thing before? They say if you bless a Jew, God will bless you. If you curse a Jew, God will curse you. Have you heard that thing before? I'm sorry, I don't mean any disrespect, but I hope you know it's not true. It's not true because Paul said to us, the blessing was to Abraham and his seed. And that seed is not seeds as of many, but seed as of one. And that seed is Christ. That is, anybody who blesses you is blessed. God was talking about you, not about natural Israel. No, it's not me that said it. It's Paul that said it. He said the blessing was to Abraham and his seed. His seed, not seeds as of many, but seed as of one. And that seed, Paul said, is whom? Christ. Why do people misquote it? Maybe like a joke, go to your office next time. Say, anybody that blesses me is blessed. That's it. I want us to begin to declare in prayer now that I am the beginning of a generational blessing in my natural family now. My children are blessed. So we don't have time to be fighting ancestral curses anymore. What are we talking about? Henceforth, I declare I am an initiator of generational blessings. The blessing of Christ Jesus is upon my household. The blessing of Abraham upon his seed, the seed that is Christ, is upon my household. Picture your children in your mind and bless them. You are blessed with the blessing of Abraham. My household is blessed. My children, every single one of them is blessed. They are blessed in their going out. They are blessed in their coming in. They are blessed in their going out. They are blessed in their coming in. They are blessed in their going out. They are blessed as they come in. In the name of Jesus, my children are blessed. My children are blessed. The generation of Christ, the blessing of that generation is upon them. It's upon them. The generation of Abraham and his seed, Christ Jesus, I tap into it for my family. I declare them blessed. Blessed are they when they go out. Blessed are they when they return. Blessed are they. Generational blessings. He said, I am blessed in the city. My children are blessed in the city. Their descendants are blessed in the city. They are blessed in the field. The offspring of my body, my children, and their own offspring, they are blessed. My businesses are blessed. My soul is blessed, filled with the knowledge of Christ. We don't walk in ignorance anymore. We walk in spiritual light. This will mark out my generation's spiritual light. Ability to understand spiritual things. Carrying the anointing of Christ Jesus. We are blessed. My household is blessed. We are able ministers of the new covenant. We lay hands on the sick, they recover. We lay hands on dead businesses, they recover. We enter into political office and we put order. And corruption and negligence is never found in us. Godliness is our nature. Righteousness is our smell. It smells on us. Integrity is our watchword. Integrity. Integrity is our watchword. It's a blessing. The ability to do well is upon my family. No lame one will be there. That is, it will not happen that spiritually they are lame, that they don't know God, that my children are on drugs, or that they are failures. It will not happen because they are the generation of the blessed. In my dreams, God will talk to me. No spirit is chasing me anywhere. No spirit. In my dreams, God is talking to me. The Holy Spirit is alive. He said, my reins doth instruct me in the night seasons. The Spirit of God speaks to me even when I sleep. In the name of Jesus Christ. We have talked enough about generational curses. From now on, don't discuss it again. Discuss only what? Generational blessings. That blessing of Abraham is yours. So. Christ collected it. It is for you. You are in Christ. Say amen if you believe that.
Amen.
Say it. I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
The blessing is mine.
The blessing is mine.
It's upon my household.
It's upon my household.
Curses are gone.
Curses are gone.
Nailed to his cross.
Nailed to his cross.
Now I walk in blessing.
Now I walk in blessing.
I walk in the power of God.
I walk in the power of God.
I walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
I walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
And it's the same for my household.
The children in that home
and their generations too.
Listen,
none of your children will walk in spiritual blindness.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please, let's take a minute. Pray for your children. Even if you don't have them now, pray for them now. Say, Jesus, reveal yourself personally to my children. arrest them one by one. Make her of Osudaya. Father, in the name of Jesus. There's no Judas in my household. All my children are taught of the Lord. And great is their peace. That's the most important blessing. Children that know God. Said, all my children are taught of the Lord. And great is their peace. All my children are taught of the Lord. Great is their peace. All my children are taught of the Lord. Great is their peace. All my children are taught of the Lord. Great is their peace. Father, say, Jesus, reveal yourself to my children by yourself. Meet them. Call them. I don't want them to be Christians just because they are from a Christian household. Let them be personal Christians. Let them be personal Christians. Let them be personal Christians. People who met the Lord by themselves. Whether they are born or not yet born, prophesy upon them. That's how they will be the head and not the tail. They will not walk foolishly. They will not walk ignorantly. But they will walk in the light of the Lord. Children will walk in the light of the Lord. My children will walk in the light of the Lord. They will walk in the light of the Lord. And great will be their peace. Great will be their peace. Thank you, Father. My children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. My children are taught of the Lord, great is their peace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give me a few seconds. Let me just explain something. He said, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. There's something about that which we should bear in mind. He was speaking about the Lord Jesus, of course we know. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. But there's a spiritual principle upon which that was based. And that is that anything that exists in the realm of the spirit can become flesh. Especially any word that God has spoken. It's not just Jesus that became flesh. Psalm 23 is becoming flesh every day. In your life and in my life. You know, when curses came, they also became flesh. They became genetic mutations. They became sicknesses that can be transmitted from one generation to another. But when the blessing came, it's the same thing. It begins to correct genetic problems. It begins to create genes that are moved from one generation to another that are better than previous ones. It's called the power of life. Paul said like this, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is giving life to your mortal bodies. You know the major problem? Lack of faith. We believe the doctor more than we believe the word of God. So the word of the doctor is reinforced every day. So diseases are remaining. I want us to do something this afternoon. Let us bring that word. Because generational that's transmitted diseases is a curse. We can break it with the power of the word of God. Because Jesus has paid to free us from it. Now, you are going to pray for yourself. And for your children. For your wife, for your husband, for your household. It's simple. See, the word, this is the principle. The word is becoming flesh. What is that word? Every, he said, who healeth all thy what? Diseases. That word will correct genes. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It will strengthen bones.
Amen.
One of the things I never agree with people when they say disease is a disease of old age. I said, that is his problem. I don't agree with it. My old age is full of life.
Amen.
Old age is not a disease. It's only allowed to make you wise. These are the things we are going to pray about. Let's deliver ourselves from disease of old age. They say your eyes will get dimmer. Why? You can get stronger. Life is working. Everybody say after me, say, in me.
In me.
Life is working.
Life.
The life of Jesus is working. It's affecting everything in me.
From my marrow
to my skin.
From the nucleus of my cells,
from my DNA,
to every cell outside my body.
In them,
life is working.
Now give an instruction. Say,
right now,
I command every gene to be repaired. Say, this man or this woman, talk to yourself.
Will not transmit any disease
to the next generation.
In the name of Jesus.
Declare them again in your own words. Say, health is my portion.
Health is my portion.
I will not transmit allergies to my children.
I will not transmit sickle cell to my children.
I will not transmit bad eyesight to my children.
I will not transmit liver disease to my children.
I will not transmit kidney disease to my children.
I will not transmit diabetes to my children.
I will not transmit hypertension to my children.
There is no disease that is being transmitted through me to the next generation. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working in me. Is giving life to my mortal body. Is giving life. As long as I abide in this tabernacle of flesh, the life of Christ will be made manifested. The curse is broken. 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 It is broken because the blood of Jesus was shed.
Declare the words, thus far and no further.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus.
From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, life is working.
Amen.
Every organ that was going to sleep because of age, we speak to it now. Wake up and have life.
Amen.
I mean, we've been delivered by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The word becomes flesh.
Amen.
Health becomes flesh in your body.
Amen.
This word is medicine.
Yes.
It's creative.
Amen.
Therefore, it's creating life in your body.
Amen.
In my body, it's creating life.
Amen.
Every sickness is healed in your body in the name of Jesus Christ. Because life is walking. Everybody say it after me again. Say, in the name of Jesus. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me and is giving life to my mortal body. Say, Christ is in me. The body was subject to death because of sin. But now, say it, but now. But now, the Spirit of Christ is giving life to it. Say, I receive life for my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Everything in between, receive perfect health in the name of Jesus. Everything not functioning properly, hear ye the word of the Lord. Receive life now and function normally in the name of Jesus. That pancreas is waking up in Jesus' name. And I'm speaking to somebody. They say, no, they keep on saying that as you're getting older, you know, you're likely to be diabetic. Say, that's not your portion. Anytime you hear it, say, it doesn't work with me. Yes, it's important. Some people say, go and start checking. Well, those who like to do checkup, continue. I don't believe in it. As far as I'm concerned, you check. Many people have all kinds of results in their wardrobe. Medical tests, 9 times out of 10, no meaning. All right? I know what I'm talking about. Yet, ask them to quote Isaiah 53, verse 5 correctly. They can't. But they know their PSA. They know their blood pressure. They know the hemoglobin A2, A1, A1C. They know every level. Quote Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 for me correctly. They cannot. And you are wondering why the word is not working. In you, the word is working. It's working. It is working. It is working. Now listen to me. Poverty has been broken. Productivity is your portion. Now say with your own mouth, say in the name of Jesus. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus. He was rich. For my sake, he became poor. So that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. Therefore, I declare, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Lack is not my portion. Say, God has given me the power to create wealth. I'm a blessing everywhere I go. I'm not a beggar. I am not a taker, but I am a giver. My hand is above. I am above. Because I'm in Christ. Yeah, it's important. It's important we understand it. Prosperity is first of all the attitude of the soul derived from the strength of the spirit. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, it's first an attitude. You know that you are not poor. No, you are not poor. You are not poor. You are not poor. You cannot be poor. Listen, you are not poor. The ability that God has given you now, it will increase in the name of Jesus. Yes, where you're able to bless 10 before, you will bless 100. Where you are blessing 100 before, you will bless 1,000. Now notice this. When I say you are not poor, I meant it. It's the number of people that you are blessing that's changing. Now maybe you can only bless one person apart from yourself, but you increase to 10. Oh, you are taking care of 10 people. You probably have 10 people working for you, but one day to increase to 100. You give out money regularly to help people, they're like 20, it will increase to 1,000. God will make all grace abound towards you. Amen. You will have all sufficiency in all things. Amen. And you will abound to every good work. Amen. Now, I want you to use your mouth. Say, God will make all grace abound towards me. Amen. And we have all sufficiency in all things. And I will abound to every good work. Say it, I am a giver. I am not a beggar. I am a giver. I am not a beggar. Everywhere I go, I bless somebody. That's the meaning of prosperity. That's the meaning of prosperity. That's the meaning of prosperity. It's well with you in the name of Jesus. Let's lift our hands and give the Lord thanks again for total deliverance. Let's give the Lord thanks for total deliverance.